Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loring. Coming up today, we're going to get your reaction to the inauguration. We'll follow up on the conversations we heard on Democracy Now! And on From a Woman's Point of View. And we're also going to fact check what Joe Biden said during his inaugural speech. And we'll do that in just a moment. But first, one listener comment about the show 2 days ago when we were talking about all the people who believe in conspiracy theories, especially those far-right conspiracy theories that motivated some to invade the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Here's what one listener had to say.
I am calling in about your show about conspiracies and how to talk to people who believe in them. I recently discovered that my boyfriend watches InfoWars, and he believes that Alex Jones gets all his information ahead of everyone else. And when I pressed him on how that could be possible, he just said, "I don't know," and walked away, as he always does when I question him about his conspiracy theory. So I don't find any way to communicate with him. I can't anymore. And I'm so sad. I'm going to have to break up with him. I don't think there's a way to convince these people. They're brainwashed. Thank you for your show.
Well, that was a listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We're going to fact check what Joe Biden said yesterday during his inauguration speech, at least part of it. He didn't go into much detail, but the fact checkers have not stopped their work. They're going to continue during the Biden administration. And we're joined now by Bill McCarthy, who is a fact checker at PolitiFact. He's based in St. Petersburg at the Poynter Institute, which owns PolitiFact and also owns the Tampa Bay Times. And Bill, thanks for coming on WMNF. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
So Joe Biden did not go into great detail yesterday in his inauguration speech. And as you folks at PolitiFact point out, he focused on broad themes. So, but let's fact check some of those broad themes for a moment. You looked at PolitiFact, you looked at three or four of the broad themes. Let me read the quote. This is what Joe Biden said yesterday. Once-in-a-century virus, it silently stalks the country. It's taken as many lives in 1 year as America lost in all of World War II. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we found that that's pretty close to accurate. And generally, Joe Biden stuck to claims that were factually defensible. And in this case, if you look at data from Johns Hopkins University's coronavirus tracker, they were reporting on that day of about 402,000 deaths due to the coronavirus pandemic in the United States. And that's just shy of the number that we saw during World War II, which was around 405,000. Given the number of daily deaths that we've been seeing as a result of the virus, it was pretty likely that we were going to hit that total by the end of the day after the inauguration or by the end of the day today. And with that milestone hit, it means that the only war that will have killed more Americans than the coronavirus pandemic at this point is the Civil War.
All right, so you rated that one close to accurate, very close. The next one I want you to fact check for us is millions of jobs have been lost. This is what Joe Biden said. Millions of jobs have been lost. Hundreds of thousands of businesses closed. Is that right? Millions of jobs lost?
That's true, yeah. Between February and December of 2020, we counted 9.8 million jobs as non-farm jobs lost nationally in that time. As far as businesses goes, the number's a little bit fuzzy, but one metric counted that as far as permanent cumulative closures go, this was as of September, there are 100,000 of those, as well as 66,000 temporary closures. Again, the actual number could be a little bit higher. That report was from September. It's a little bit outdated by now, and not all of the businesses may have been captured in the methodology of that counting. It looks like Joe Biden, as far as his claim was going, was pretty close to the facts again.
All right. So he said hundreds of thousands. It might have been as many as, according to your numbers, about 166,000. So not quite up to 200,000.
Right. And again, that number is fuzzy.
Yeah, because the numbers came out in September. Well, we're fact-checking Joe Biden's speech yesterday. We're also going to do one fact-check of President Trump as he was leaving office yesterday, and we'll look at one other item, too. This is 88.5 FM. Our guest is Bill McCarthy, who is a fact-checker at PolitiFact at the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg. Yesterday, the incoming president, Joe Biden, said 108 years ago at another inaugural, thousands of protesters tried to block brave women marching for the right to vote. Did protesters actually block women from voting?
Yeah, this is pretty close to accurate. What Joe Biden was describing was an event in 1913. It wasn't the day of the inauguration. It was the eve of the inauguration, and that was for President Woodrow Wilson. The events are detailed with the Library of Congress, and we reviewed their summary. Basically, what they described was a mobilization of some 5,000 women by suffragists pushing for the right to vote. And on the streets, they were mistreated by people from Washington, unruly crowds, and also some police.
Yeah, I don't think many people remember that. I mean, I think people that have studied the history of the Woodrow administration might remember that. But boy, that is something that even in my reading, I don't recall. Let's do one other fact check with Biden. The president said now a rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we unfortunately have seen a rise of white supremacy, a rise of political extremism. And what Joe Biden said jives pretty well with what FBI Director Christopher Wray said during testimony before the House in September. At that point in time, he talked about a rise in what he called racially motivated violent extremists in recent years. He didn't necessarily go into left versus right, but as he was pressed on the question, he said that among those racially motivated groups, there were a lot of people that were subscribing to some form of white supremacy. That was the ideology that made up the biggest threat in his mind at that time.
Yeah, he called it the biggest chunk of that. So, Bill, I take it the PolitiFact is not going away with the new president. You're going to be on his case and watching him. The president has made a bunch of promises, too. Will PolitiFact fact check whether or not he kept his promises?
Yes, we will. We've done that with each president during our time. That would be President Barack Obama and then President Donald Trump. We've been tracking promises, and we've just released a list of some of Joe Biden's promises that we'll be tracking, some of which he's already in the process of fulfilling with a number of executive actions having taken place in his first day of office.
Is it on the website? Is there a look back at President Trump's promises and how many of those promises he kept and how many he failed to reach?
That's correct. Yes, we call it our Trump meter, and anybody looking to see how he fared relative to the promises he made during his 2016 campaign can go to politifact.com, find that, and sort through by his promises, and also sort through by whether or not he kept them. Maybe got half the way there, or broke the promise.
All right, I'm going to have to look at that. Do you know offhand how well President Trump did in keeping his promises? And if you don't, it's okay. Just say.
We have published stories with that information, so I'd invite listeners to go to politifact.com and they can find the exact numbers.
All right, very good. Before he left office yesterday, President Trump said several things, and I just want you to talk about one thing he said, and that is outgoing President Trump said, "We built the greatest economy in the history of the world." That's what he said as he was leaving and planning to fly to Florida yesterday. Did you fact check that?
Yeah, that actually is very similar to a claim that we had fact checked in September. And so we looked at it again, and what we found was that while President Trump was describing the greatest economy in the history of the world, even if you take the recession brought on by the pandemic out of the equation, and even if you look at the U.S. as opposed to the world, the claim is false. Unemployment was near historical lows under President Trump, but if you look at the growth of GDP, it was well below what previous presidents had achieved. And then other metrics like wages and business investment, they they range from what we described at the time in September as decent to mediocre.
What I like about Fact Check, too, is that you put the footnotes at the end of your pieces, at the end of your articles, so if people want to look for themselves and go to the Department of Labor or any other original source, they can do it themselves and take a look at the numbers that you've analyzed.
That's correct, yes. At the bottom of every article, at the bottom of every Fact Check, we list our sources. So like you said, people can see if they agree.
So let's do one more, and we're talking with Bill McCarthy, who's with PolitiFact. Bill, one of President Biden's promises is that he wants to raise the minimum wage. I don't think he's come out with a plan yet, obviously there's some pushback, and one of the groups that's pushing back is a conservative group, Turning Point USA, and Jordan Rachel, a Turning Point USA contributor, said of the, for instance, a $15 minimum wage, which we're headed for here in Florida in 2026, a $15 an hour minimum wage would raise the price of a Taco Bell burrito to $38. So fact check that for us.
Right. So this is the beauty of fact checking, is you never know who you're going to have to reach out to. And so in this case, it was Taco Bell and several economists. I spoke to Taco Bell. I got a statement from them. And what they said is at county and city levels, they've already adopted some of their franchises. They've already adapted to minimum wage increases. And so what economists pointed out is you can look in cities like New York City, cities like Washington, D.C., like Seattle or San Francisco, where the minimum wage is already at or above $15 per hour. And you can see what, say, a bean burrito costs there compared to another place where the minimum wage might be equal to the current federal minimum. And what you see is not $38 price tags. In fact, you see prices that are much more similar to what you might expect for a burrito. The change is not all that significant. And there are ways for economists to estimate what in a particular city that does not currently have a $15 minimum wage, what the price of a burrito might look like if that change were to go into effect. And when economists played that game and made their own assessments for us at PolitiFact, they weren't coming anywhere close to $38 for a burrito.
Did you ask Jordan Rachel at Turning Point USA how she came up with the $38 figure, or he came up with the $38 figure?
We tried reaching out, so I contacted Turning Point USA, and I contacted a spokesperson for the organization's founder. We didn't hear back from either, so we weren't able to get the specific evidence that they may have been citing or may have had in their back pocket. But what we did realize was that after we sent out our inquiries, the tweet making the original claim came down from Twitter. It may have been deleted. It may have been removed from another for another reason. But what that suggests is maybe they didn't feel all that good about the accuracy of the claim to begin with.
Mm. Well, Bill McCarthy, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF. And again, what's the PolitiFact website?
PolitiFact.com.
Bill, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
All right, great to have you here. You can see the fact check on the Joe Biden inauguration claims at PolitiFact.com and all the other claims that we talked about today. They're up right now. I can remember, and you may be a longtime listener, but about 10 years ago, I interviewed a New York Times reporter who was then the labor and work employment reporter at the New York Times. And he had come to Tampa and looked at minimum wage workers here, and also went to Denmark and looked at minimum wage workers. And the workers here were paid just about $8 an hour. And he talked to a Burger King worker and a McDonald's worker. And then he went over to Denmark and talked to a similar worker over there at a fast food place. And there the workers were paid about the equivalent of $20 an hour in Denmark. And this goes back a few years. And the price of a Big Mac over in Denmark was just slightly higher over in Denmark than it was here in the U.S., even though their workers were paid more than 100% more than what our workers are paid here in Tampa. So if you want to comment about anything so far, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And I want to play some highlights from the inauguration yesterday of Joe Biden and get your take on how you feel now, what you're thinking now, and has your thoughts about the country, has your mood about the country has your feeling about the country changed over the last 2 days? And our number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And let's listen back to some of the highlights. There were so many interesting things that happened yesterday, but so we won't play a lot, but we're going to play just a few minutes to give a sense of some of the speeches that were made, some of the poetry that was made, some of the singing that was done, some of the pomp and circumstance, too. Here is a highlight reel from the Joe Biden inauguration yesterday.
Paired perfectly with an oat milk iced latte. Order ahead plus earn rewards.
All right, so maybe we won't play it. Let's see if we can bring it up. All right, so let's see. It's going to take a few minutes here to queue up. Let's see if we can. All right, so let's see if I can find a better copy of this. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa. Let's see if we can bring on some of the highlights of yesterday's inauguration of Joe Biden. We're going to try to go to a different source for it and see. There we go.
It's America's Day. My fellow Americans, this is America's Day.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me.
I, Kamala Davy Harris, do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help me God.
That's right.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute
the office of President of the United States.
Office of President of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr.
Thank
President.
You. We've learned again that democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed. We'll press forward with speed and urgency, for we have much to do in this winter of peril and significant possibilities. Much to repair, much to restore, much to heal, much to build, and much to gain. And here we stand, just days after a riotous mob thought they could use violence to silence the will of the people. It did not happen. It will never happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever, not ever. To all those who did not support us, let me say this. Hear me out as we move forward. Take a measure of me and my heart. And if you still disagree, so be it. That's democracy. That's America. Yet hear me clearly. Disagreement must not lead to disunion. And I pledge this to you. I will be a president for all Americans, all Americans. I'd like to ask you to join me in a moment of silent prayer. Remember all those who we lost in this past year to the pandemic, those 400,000 fellow Americans. Amen. Together, we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness, a story of decency and dignity, love and healing, greatness and goodness. May this be the story that guides us. May God bless America, and may God protect our troops. Thank you, America.
I wish the new administration great luck and great success.
It is now my great privilege and high honor to be the first person to officially introduce the 46th President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden, Jr.
Together, we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness, a story of decency and dignity, love and healing, greatness and goodness. May this be the story that guides us.
When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it.
Well, some of what happened yesterday at the inauguration of Joe Biden. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. So how do you feel now? What do you think? Are you hopeful? Are you pessimistic? What did you think of the events yesterday? What was the highlight for you? Certainly a lot of great singing yesterday and some very interesting moments. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Tim, who's driving. Tim, thanks for calling. How do you feel after yesterday's inauguration? Hey, Tim?
Hey, yes, Lucia? Here he is.
Hi, Tim. You're live on the radio.
Well, the inauguration gave me hope, if anything, after 4 years of absolute craziness. And I think it's going to be a positive for America. I think things look better. It's a beautiful day in Tampa today. It's going to be a beautiful day there. But what I want to find out, too, is I've been hearing this, and I've heard this from, like, three other people on the news, NBC and all this, that in the time of Trump's 4 years, that the national debt went up $7 trillion. And so I looked into it myself online. And it is actually showing that it did, you know, I want to see if you know this to be true, too, that it's gone from like $21 or $20 trillion now up to $28 trillion.
Yeah, I just, you know, as you were talking, I just did a fact check on that. As of October of last year, the national debt had reached $27 trillion. That was a 36% increase in less than 4 years. When President Trump took office, the national debt was $19.9 trillion. So it went up at least $7 trillion during his time in office, yes.
Well, I know that when Trump first got in office, and probably 3 weeks after he did, someone called up on MNF, and which just went with an irate, and said that he's already brought the national debt down $5 trillion, and you didn't laugh, but you sort of just was disputing that. And so that sort of gave everyone a little of what was going to be going on with these type of people that supported this person. But yes, this did help me. Having Biden as the new president is like a breath of fresh air, and thanks for taking my call.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot. And my source on the information about the national debt is a website called The Balance. thebalance.com, and it keeps track of, among other things, the national debt. When you give tremendous tax breaks to billionaires, you end up with deficits. And that's been the history of every time we cut taxes for the rich. That's what's happened over the years. And there's some interesting new studies about all the tax cuts going back to the tax cuts given by Ronald Reagan to the rich. Our phone number, 813-239-9663, and our email address, dj@wmnf.org. How do you feel now that Joe Biden's been inaugurated? Are you hopeful? Are you pessimistic? What did you think of yesterday's events? Let's go to Patty in Sarasota. Patty, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, wow. I didn't expect to get on that quickly. Well, I think, let's see, I'm sorry, I'm getting in a driving position here. Of course, I'm hopeful, and yet, you know, there's the what's going to happen with Trump and his people. And I wonder, you know, he's going to be living in South Florida, right, down south. And I just wonder, I didn't know if you knew this. I thought Florida had an, if this is true, an anti-militia law. Do we have an anti-militia law?
No, we don't have an anti-militia law. Not that I know of. We did have an anti-mask law that was passed in the 1980s as a result of a rising number of Ku Klux Klan marches and in some cases hate crimes. But I think that law has been disputed and may no longer be constitutional. But I'll have to look that up, Patty. I don't. We have no anti-militia law that I know of. And if there are lawyers out there who are listening and know differently, please call us up at 813-239-9663. So President Trump is moving to Florida, and there's some talk about his daughter running against Marco Rubio for the U.S. Senate in the Republican primary.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, Patty, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you. And we've got an open line. And if you want to call, please call us at 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, thank you, Rob. I have a bullet point list, and I'll be brief. The first one is kudos to you. Here's what I mean. I have progressive friends in Georgia, and they don't have much public media up there like MNF. They started listening to MNF. They got energized. They went to work with Stacey Abrams. They went to work for Warnock and Ossoff. And they told me that the energy, intellect, and other good things that they got from your public affairs programming is what motivated them to help us turn Georgia. So MNF has some, you know, real big influence in this world, and it's always a positive influence, and I thank you for that. Secondly, if you look at the situation in Germany in 1927-28. We're where we were when Hitler had his first political failure, which was the beer hall push. We need to make sure Trump can never hold office again. We need to make sure that all of his accomplices and co-conspirators, not just the violent ones, but Cruz and Hawley and Senator Johnson and the 140 that voted against Biden's presidency, are all removed from power. Thirdly, how do I feel? Oh, I feel like a person that's been in an abusive relationship for 4 years. And every day I would wake up and say, what new terrible thing has Donald Trump done to the environment I love, to other regulations that help us, to the rule of law, and to our national security and to our reputation worldwide? I used to be a Biden hater and to the left of Bernie, and I now see that was bitter and kind of like Hillary hating and just ridiculous. I believe in Joe Biden now, and he's not perfect. And the last thing I'll say is this. The government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. Our politicians are not the problem. The problem is us. And the contractor that ripped me off the other day, the neighbor I have that brandishes his gun, he's more of a threat to me than Trump or McConnell or anybody ever was. So it's time for all of us Americans to demand from ourselves what we demand from our politicians: transparency, honesty, sharing, generosity, gentleness. I don't want to hear anybody pointing the finger at Biden or Kamala Harris. It's not their fault if this country goes down. It's our fault.
All right, Gary, thanks. Thanks for your thoughts, and thanks for your compliment. I should say that WMNF does not endorse candidates. We are not part of a political party. But we do care deeply because it's in our mission statement about peace and equality and social justice. We care about facts, and we care about protecting the environment. So our board has kind of given us a mandate, and so that's what we care about. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Steve in Tampa, and then we're going to go to Mia in St. Petersburg. So, Steve in Tampa, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, hey, Rob. Thanks for the show. Yeah, I'm after watching the inauguration yesterday and listening to the new press secretary, who I have to say I was very impressed with. I wasn't familiar with her, but just to have somebody who was so competent, who understood all of the questions that were being thrown at her by the press corps, having very thorough, thoughtful responses, gives me hope that President Biden is going to surround himself with people who fit the number one criteria of being competent and qualified. And unlike outgoing President Trump, whose number one criterion was loyalty, regardless of competency. And, you know, if you accept the fact that you need government at all, you obviously want to run by the most competent people that you can. And I'm hopeful that he has got the right people up for the jobs, including the new Treasury Secretary and the other appointees, which from all I can tell are very, very well qualified and very competent. And I'm also very optimistic about, you know, what he's doing with our allies and our role in the world, which is so critical. I mean, let's face it, the U.S. is the shining light in the world, or has been until just recently. And I think he's going to do a good job to restore our position and give hope to a lot of people in the world and restore democracy as a very good system of government and what people think about that. And I'm very happy that he's rejoined the Paris Accord. Of course, you know, nobody wants to talk about it as much as we need to, but yeah, without the environment and without a hospitable environment for human beings to live, there's nothing really else to talk about. And I think he seems to get that, and we'll see what he's able to accomplish on that front. And lastly, I'm an investor, and there's lots of talk about the stock market being in a bubble now, or you know the price of Tesla stock going crazy, and there are individual situations like that, but I'm confident now, even though we're in very difficult times, just like I was confident when Obama got elected because of the quality of the government that he was going to bring. So I actually was a big buyer when Obama got elected, even though we were in the midst of the,
the recession, yeah.
Yeah, the recession. And I have to say, I feel the same way now. I'm confident now, so I'm a buyer.
Yeah, well, our economy certainly has some room to expand, given all the closures and people being cooped up in their homes for so long. I think everybody's ready to get out and have fun, you know, whenever the COVID crisis ends. All right, Steve, thanks a lot. I agree with you about competency. I think one of the best ways to check Steve's point is look at the White House briefings from the last 4 years, and then look at last night's White House briefing, and just see it. There is a different ethic or mood that's going on there. I'm asking people what they thought of the inauguration yesterday and how they feel. And let's go to Mia in St. Pete. Mia, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I'm Anja. I'm 67 years old, so I've been voting since I was 19. And the thing is, people have to remember, especially newer voters, you have to vote more than every four. You have to vote for those school board candidates and your local mayor, your state reps and senators and county commissioners, et cetera. Especially the gentleman mentioned prior to me about the environment. I mean, we're Florida. Look who is sitting in the governor's seat up in Tallahassee. You know, is that when that person comes up for re-election? Do you want to continue to have that type of leadership?
And it's wonderful that everybody got out to vote for in the presidential election, but hey, every election is just as important. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, that's true. And Mia, you've got a city mayor's race and city council races this year.
Yes, we do.
Yep. All right. Mia, thanks a lot. Thanks for reminding us to vote. It's always important. Let me read some of the emails. We have probably 15 or 20 emails that I haven't read. Let me start with David. David writes, I'm pleased to see some recent articles about QAnon folks who are disillusioned now that Biden has been sworn in as president. I hope that this marks a great awakening. Q and Trump are con men, and they played these folks for fools, right? That's David's opinion. Thank you for that, David. Thanks for writing in. Simon writes, in Denmark, how many workers did it take to have a store and make and sell Big Macs versus in New York or other cities? They had a very similar number of workers, Simon. Thanks for asking that question. I'll see if I can dredge up that article from the New York Times a few years ago. Jeff writes this, I don't want to dispute the work of PolitiFact, but there's another website called All Sides, which claims PolitiFact is slightly left-wing, writes Jeff. And Jeff goes on to say there are other fact-checking services such as Snopes and FactCheck, which All Sides rated as being center. It's just something to keep in mind when doing fact-checking. I haven't seen that about PolitiFact, Jeff. I do like, though, Snopes. I like Snopes a lot. Deborah in Spring Hill writes, President Biden was magnificent yesterday. Even a Fox News commentator said his speech was the best inauguration speech he'd ever heard. He radiated compassion, empathy, and inclusion, as he did when I met him in Sarasota years ago. Immediately after the stirring inauguration, he worked into the night rescinding many draconian Trump policies. Mr. Biden is peaking, perhaps not in rapid banter, but in wisdom, experience, and resilience, writes Deborah in Spring Hill. And then Charles writes, the ridiculous lies about minimum wage fit perfectly with the rest of the right-wing propaganda, just another mechanism to hide the realities of income and wealth inequality and the fact that our democratic republic has devolved into, at best, an oligarchy. That's Charles in Tampa writing that. Kevin writes this, in America, work ethic is a cherished value, yet those who work are taxed at a higher rate than those who make their money on Wall Street. Raise the capital gains tax to lower the inequality and even out the burden on the working class people, writes Kevin. And then Wendy writes, I feel and am sleeping better. I pretty much have a we'll see attitude. I hope the hate crawls back under a rock. I wish the news talk shows would take a break. People looking for 30 minutes of fame or money should not be given airtime. The good news and science must take over, writes Wendy. All right, so those are just some of the mountain of emails that we've got as people tell us what they think and how they feel about the inauguration yesterday. Let's go to Doug in Seminole, and then after Doug, we'll go to David in Pasco County. Doug in Seminole, you're on. What would you like to say?
Well, what I'd like to say is first of all, I think that a lot of this hatred that went towards Trump was started, I mean, obviously started way before he even went into office. And I said, and the media did not help anything at all. And I think the whole thing was just to get him to fail. I mean, I voted for him, but don't get me wrong. I don't think as a human being and some of the stuff that he said and some of the comments he's made, I totally disagree with. But a lot of it's policy that I'm with, and I try to support those that go towards the policy that fits me and the way I raise my family and everything. But
And Doug, could I ask, could you pull out one policy from President Trump that you liked and that you're glad he took on?
Well, I'm glad that he went with you, but when he helped with the abortion thing, I don't believe in abortion.
And so when he appointed the Supreme Court justices who were all anti-abortion, that made you feel better.
Well, the term feel better is kind of an incorrect term. It's not a matter of feeling better. It's believing what I believe is morally correct. It's not my feelings. It's what I believe is right.
Yeah.
And I have people where I work that are very against Trump, and we've gotten into some words, but then I went back to the guy and I actually sat down with him and we talked very civil and I said, listen, this is ridiculous because people should not be warring against each other over politics. If you really, really, really care for the country, then you should really care for the country, not be trying to tear it down and fighting. And we go about these people that stormed the Capitol. Those were a few people. Well, meanwhile, months ago, people were burning cities in Black Lives Matter, whatever other groups are out there doing it. And the news said not much about it in the sense of the negativity. And that's really unfair and a double standard.
Yeah, you know, I don't think cities were burning. I think auto parts stores and some hey, local shoe stores were burned. Yes, and I think that was wrong. But I don't think entire cities were burning.
Okay, a little exaggeration. Okay, I'll grant you that. But the point is there were a lot of businesses that were ruined and destroyed. And for what? I mean, honestly, for what? That was violence. That should have been tamed down, but nobody said. They said that was okay. And I'm not saying the storming of the Capitol.
I don't think anybody said that was okay. I think people,
they didn't listen. They didn't say it was okay, but what they did was they gave it a pass. You didn't hear any newscasters saying this was wrong. They were saying more or less they had the right to protest.
Yeah, but of all the, and Doug, of the millions of people, and I think the numbers are somewhere around 4, 5, or 6 million people, and I'll have to fact check that, but the last number I read, 4, 5, or 6 million people took part in peaceful marches across the country to protest police violence.
Okay,
and most of those people were not involved at all in burning down cities. I'd like to see an investigation into who started some of those fires, but it wasn't that wasn't the vast majority of Black Lives Matter protesters who were burning those stores. It was, you know, people with perhaps some different motivation. If you went to the Tampa protests, people were not there to burn things down. I was at several Tampa protests. They were not there to burn things down.
That's true, and then same goes with storming the Capitol. Most of Trump supporters weren't even for it, much as there. And that's the other thing. They're trying to silence people. They're trying to go against people that were with Trump. That is so wrong. I mean, you guys will be in a socialist, communist nation at that point for your political enemies to be having the fear someone might be trying to get you out of office or who knows what else. I mean, we shouldn't be going against Trump supporters. We shouldn't be. That's wrong. I mean, I can't even believe people even think that's okay.
Well, I think there's a lot of people upset, including Republicans who are upset at folks that use battering rams and fire extinguishers and tear gas and all that stuff to break into the Capitol and attempt to perhaps hang some members of Congress and Vice President Mike Pence. So I think that's what a lot of people are angry at. I don't think you're going to find many people, at least listening to this radio station, that are mad at protests. I think you're going to find people that are mad at violence.
You know, you're right, and that's the whole point I'm trying to make. That was on both sides, and that's the point. There was violence, peaceful protests.
Yeah, but I think the difference is you saw people with Trump flags breaking into the U.S. Capitol. You didn't see people who were organizers of BLM protests breaking into shoe stores. That didn't happen.
Well, they may have been breaking the shoe stores, but they were still starting fires and taking over certain.
No, areas. I think that's Doug. Could I ask what your favorite TV news channel is?
To be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of news, and I've seen both sides. I've seen some Fox.
All right, Doug, thanks a lot. We've got every line lit. You've had the longest call of the show. Thank you very much for calling in.
I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Well, you're listening to 88.5 FM. And as promised, let's go to David in Pasco County, and then we're going to go to Dave in Tampa. David in Pasco, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. As long as that caller just mentioned it, what were the protests in Seattle and Portland about last night?
Some people who were who carried what they said were anarchist posters and banners they attacked the Democratic Party headquarters. About 150 people were protesting in Portland, Oregon. They claimed to be anarchists, although I was interested. I read the story this morning from the Los Angeles Times, which is a good story. You should read it. But it was interesting to listen to the NPR newscast because they said people. They didn't say it was anarchists. And I think because NPR is still trying to determine whether or not it was anarchists that did the damage. So the police in Portland did arrest some of the people that caused damage yesterday in Portland, and we'll find out what groups they belong to.
Well, thank you for that. And I just want to say briefly, I'm an environmentalist, and I'm very disappointed in the city of Tarpon Springs' decision to go ahead with that 74-acre project on the Anclote River. I hope they can resolve that. I'm totally against the roadway that's going to be used as a toll road into North Florida to destroy the habitat. I think it's time that Florida has a Democratic governor again. I was very much for Bob Graham, always have been.
And okay. All right. Well, David, we're gonna spend months talking about the upcoming governor's race.
I just want to say one more thing. I think Rick Scott is the most dangerous man in Washington, D.C. I think that man has an agenda. Watch out for Rick Scott.
All right, David, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. Trying to keep it on the inauguration, I think that's an important topic, and we will, I promise, more than any other radio station, we'll talk about the governor's race, I promise. Let's go, as promised, to Dave in Tampa, and then we're going to go to Jennifer in Tampa. So, Dave in Tampa, what would you like to say?
Hey, good morning, Rob. Sorry, I'm not exactly on the inauguration, but I've got an item for you that I think might be worth following. It was in the FloridaBulldog.org yesterday by Dan Christensen. And it says, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody's office abruptly scrubbed her state website shortly after the January 6th insurrection to remove mention that she was a director of a conservative dark money group tied to the insurrection. The name of the group is Rule of Law Defense Fund. It's a 501c4 organization, which means they don't have to tell anyone, including the IRS, where they get their money. And they apparently were making robocalls to people, telling them, urging them to march to the Capitol building in Washington and call on Congress to stop the steal and to fight to protect the integrity of our elections. She's now trying to distance herself from this. This is Ashley Moody.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the best reporting on the Florida Bulldog is a great website. The best reporting on that, though, was done by Steve Contorno at the Tampa Bay Times last week when the story broke. And Steve tried to get a read on when the attorney general here in Florida, Moody, stepped down from this organization, because her aide says she stepped down, but he couldn't get a read on it. But you're right. This group that she was, at least until recently, part of, a significant part of, sponsored that riot on the Capitol, or sponsored the march that led to the riot on the Capitol. But I would check out Steve's article in the Tampa Bay Times.
Yeah. She also signed us, the state of Florida, onto the seditionist lawsuit that was based on lies.
And she's trying to overturn Obamacare, too. And I wonder, do the people of Florida want to see Obamacare overturned, or is she, being a freelancer? So, yeah. Dave, thanks a lot. It's an important story. Sure. Thanks for bringing it up again. Yeah. All right. Great to hear from you. And let's go to Jennifer in Tampa. Jennifer, thank you for calling. What would you like to say? Hi, Jennifer. Did we lose you? Jennifer in Tampa? Hi, Jennifer. All right. We'll put you on hold. Maybe we'll get you back. Let me read some of these emails. Ernie writes, how do you feel? I'm relieved, writes Ernie in Port Richey. And then Mean writes, as much as I want to believe it, and I'm hopeful, I doubt Biden will stop being a blind supporter of militarized Wall Street and Israel, writes Amin. Kay writes, I feel like a huge weight has been lifted. I felt a lot of joy, although most of my family have swallowed the big lie and they don't consider the election legit. That's Kay from Bradenton. And then Peaceman says, like James Brown, I feel good, writes Peaceman. So Peaceman, thank you for that. Ron in West Tampa says, I'm cautiously hopeful. Biden is a politician, and he must be held accountable. I'm glad to hear him speak intelligently as opposed to Trump's rambling anger. We all have to stay focused and keep working on progressive goals. I like Joe Biden and Kamala and want them and us to succeed, writes Ron in West Tampa. So let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Stuart in Tampa, who's been waiting a long time. Stuart, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, hi. I too am relieved about Biden's inauguration. However, to follow up on a couple of the other callers that we still have work to do, I wanted to point out that our Senator Marco Rubio sends fundraising letters to his campaign to fundraise, and he says that in his, and I'm reading from his literature, that liberals have targeted the IRS to target conservatives. We've weaponized the courts. We've conspired to politicize the COVID pandemic. We embrace socialism. We advocate for infanticide. He's calling us baby killers. And we are trying to pack the courts with liberals, which... so my point is that this is our sitting senator. This is who represents us in the U.S. Senate. And this is what he's telling people. This is how he's raising money. He's telling his followers that he's calling us names. And no wonder they stormed the Capitol. This is what he thinks.
It's interesting because that's what he tells the hardcore. And then now he's floated this new idea. I don't know if you've heard about it. He wants to modify capitalism. He claims he no longer believes in free enterprise. He wants to have limits on capitalism. Well, anytime anybody in the past who's a Democrat has suggested limits on capitalism, they've been automatically vilified by the Republicans as socialists. So what is Senator Rubio think these limits on capitalism should be? I mean, I think he's trying to speak to out of both sides of his mouth. To conservatives, he's sending out this frightening fundraising letter. And to the reporters in Washington, he's singing a different tune.
Yeah. Well, how can he call his constituents names? He represents the people he represents. How can he?
Yeah, but Jesse Helms, I mean, that's a time-honored tradition in the Republican Party. Jesse Helms used to send those out all the time. Oliver North, when he was trying to become a politician, sent those out all the time. I mean, it's at least in my lifetime, it's a 50-year tradition.
Yeah, I understand. This is not good.
You should save that and maybe send it to the newspaper.
Well, I was going to approach maybe the ACLU. Could we have a class action lawsuit against Marco Rubio?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, Stuart, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And let's go to Nick in Largo. Nick, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
I'd just like to talk about the inauguration. Thank you for your show, by the way. The inauguration was beautiful. They did a wonderful job with it. The weather cooperated as it began to snow and it cleared off. It was kind of like, I felt like lifting a veil for the country. And the music was pretty good. The singers were wonderful. And Joe Biden's acceptance speech was the best inaugural speech I've ever heard. And I've been listening to him since Kennedy was inaugurated. And I just think that when they were sworn in, it made me cry. It weren't tears of sadness, they were tears of gladness and hope. And it was very well done. And it was a little bit long, but, you know, political things usually are.
But, yeah, I was wondering about Joe Biden at the end of the day. I thought he was going to fall over. He was, you know, he went to mass early in the morning, and then he was up late last night making speeches on the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah. He's busy. He has a wonderful work ethic, and he's not going to play much golf.
I don't think he has much time for TV either. Nick, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
My brother lives in D.C., and he sent me this text yesterday afternoon at 3:30. He said, D.C. may feel like an armed camp this week, but as of noon today, I am convinced once again that I live in a democracy. That's my brother, one of my brothers who lives in D.C. sent me that. Well, let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Walter in Sarasota. Walter, we just have 30 seconds. What would you like to say?
Yes, absolutely loved the inauguration yesterday. And, you know, I've been a conservative Democrat, which is such a thing most of my life. And a big way, I think, to get to people with different points of view with some bipartisan news is something what Amazon's doing. If you look at the Fire Stick right now, it'll say news, and it will not have any right-wing, hard left or right-wing news. It's bipartisan.
I'll have to look at it. Walter, I'm sorry to say we're out of time. Thank you very much for your phone call. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Bill Grace has been our phone producer today. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for listening to Radioactivity. This is WMNF in Tampa. Remember, this program is podcast. Here is the news from NPR.